It's December 14th. I can't use the numerical days anymore because they're not the same.
The halfway point. Another pro Aspie tip. Order Christmas presents. That's going to happen very soon.
Sooner than you realize.
You don't want to get hit with those overnight charges for shipping. And remember that you should purchase. Now listen, I'm not saying it makes any sense. I'm not saying that it's not a ridiculous corporate holiday, but just socially, you should do it. You should get your family some gifts. Just give in to it. Unless you're, you know, in some non-Christian country. And then
we did a video on this, as a matter of fact.
I don't think it's out yet. It might be by the time the news is.
Yeah, no, I think it'll be out yesterday.
So, Bethesda. We've talked about the failures of Fallout 76.
not to the extent that I feel it's been adequately covered, but they're far and wide.
Now, some people fed the dragon and even did it under the guise of like, oh, I'll do it ironically.
No.
To prove how bad it is.
It's bad. But I still play it. Who would do that? Me. A little bit.
So we, you know, not only was the game a disaster, but then there was the canvas bag debacle. But Bethesda went back into their corner. They were like, okay, we'll give you the stupid bags. But now they've screwed up again.
Did you file a support ticket? Well, some bad news. It was badly coded. So Bethesda's support site leaks Fallout 76 customers' personal info. Their address, emails, and more were recovered from this database leak. And they're like, oops, our bad.
And I think you had to support a ticket to get your bag, right?
Yeah.
So enjoy that bag.
Enjoy that insult on injury.
And that identity theft that goes along with it. You'll be able to put the few belongings you have left and go out on the homelessness road with your canvas bag after you've been robbed blind. So
speaking of robbed blind.
Well, I think this is the second week in a row for a new Spectre attack, right? There were like 2 or 3 weeks where the researchers, maybe they took some time off. You know, I don't know, but now they're back at it.
Researchers discover Split Spectre, a new Spectre-like CPU attack. So this is from ZDNet. There's a lot of good details here, but I can sum it up really quickly, really succinctly. The existing mitigations will mitigate this attack, but this attack is exploitable from the web browser, like this style or whatever. This opens it up. So you can have a malicious ad on a web page that exploits this, which is what we predicted would happen. It's like, you know, Spectre, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden somebody's going to figure out how to do it from something that's reachable easily. And so this is it. This is your warning. This is your canary in the coal mine. You've got to get your system patched for speculative execution because it is now exploitable from the web browser.
This is essentially just Spectre V1. It's no different except for easier to get to you.
Yeah.
So if you know, you can go back and read about Spectre V1 if you'll find out what they can do to you. But yeah, and I suspect this is probably not the end of it. They will keep improving the delivery method.
Yeah.
So.
Until all of a sudden, even text ads on Google can infect your system.
And they did test this on both Intel, AMD, and ARM.
Yeah.
But I shouldn't have used both because I listed 3 things, but yeah. All of the above. Well, phones in prison. Now, I was surprised to learn that the number one piece of contraband in prison is not drugs or tobacco or whatever. It's phones. They love sneaking them in, which
is only... like it would be easy to figure it out.
Well, there's only so many ways to get a phone into a prison through a strip search. So you can use your imagination. But when they get them, they are very clever about how to use them.
Yeah. Gizmodo has the headline, prison inmates catfished $560,000 out of military service members in sextortion scam, NCIS says. We're not really sure why they were targeting service members, but they would go on dating sites and post profiles on dating sites and then have conversations with people who were in the service and then tell them that they were underage or pose as law enforcement and say, hey, you're talking to this person on a dating site. And we think that's underage, whatever. We're going to fine you.
I'm pretty sure some nudes were exchanged.
Yeah.
And they had, obviously, it wasn't the prisoners themselves. They had some, you know, they probably brought the phones in with some preloaded nudes. And so when they, I would say they probably attacked people in the service because there's those morality clauses.
Mm.
Not only could you be kicked out, you might be court-martialed for violating something like that. So they had a lot more to lose if this came out. And $560,000 worth people were willing to pay.
Yeah. So there's going to be a lot of people caught up in this, I think, because it was extensive and It's amazing that so many members of the armed services were willing to sort of go along with the scam.
Oh, come on.
I mean, kind of.
See, I'm going to piss people off with this. But there's this sort of mystique about the armed forces. It's like, oh, the best and the bravest and the strongest. No, I'm sure there's plenty of people in there who are great. But there's a lot of people who did that as a last resort. You get a lot of chaff with the wheat. So don't buy into the whole rah-rah.
Well,
go America stuff.
Not really that. I'm just surprised that as a collective group that would even, like, that would be a common thing.
You're surprised that 19-year-old aggressive males
well,
are
when you put
trolling
it that
around on the internet? Yeah, come on. Well, you know what else they might be interested in the military is fitness. And they might have gotten caught in this trap as well.
Threat Post has the headline, iOS fitness apps robbing money from Apple victims. So this app writer figured out a way.
You got to show the screenshot.
To like,
it's pretty.
Because like with Apple Pay, you have to use your fingerprint. But somehow this app has gotten around that. And it made it look like you were using your fingerprint to enroll in this fitness app. But it actually used your fingerprint to authorize a $100, $130 purchase.
I think it goes beyond that. I think they actually build it as your thumbprint or your fingerprint was going to send some sort of metrics back to the fitness app to get your baseline fitness level. So it's like, be sure and hold your finger in place for 10 seconds or whatever it is. But that's the method of approving if you have a credit card on file.
Yeah.
So,
oops.
$120 they charged.
Well, Apple has taken the app down, but it's not clear who's going to get refunds or what's going on with this.
If you have the card on file, it immediately makes the payment. There's no clearing time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. If an app is asking you to hold your finger on the fingerprint scanner for a certain amount of time. Now, from this screenshot, it looks like you can see over here that it is charging you because there's a price and everything, but I guess they count on people. But this looks like a double wide shot.
Yeah, they said that the payment screen only pops up for a second and somehow the app like clicks the button or whatever.
Sneaky. Guess they're going to have to probably patch that out of the iOS, aren't they?
Apple has a bug that's being exploited.
Well, so does Mozilla. And it's an 11-year-old bug, and after they explain it, it seems kind of obvious. It's like, well, yeah, this would be pretty easy to take care of, right?
So malicious sites can embed an iframe that pops up for HTTP auth, which will prevent you from closing the parent window, which could be running malicious code generating lots of pop-ups.
Now, the other thing about it is this has popped up from an iframe. Well, you mentioned that, but we need to point out the URL that you're on is not the URL that's popping up.
Yeah.
The login code. So it's sort of a double subterfuge. Yeah. And so you see, you're looking at one URL at the top, and then the other one is asking you to give your credentials, and they could just steal your credentials.
Neat. Or you can't close the web page.
Now, Chrome.
Until you kill the Firefox process.
Chrome deals with this because Chrome has the segregated.
Yep.
Chrome EXEs.
Well, and not only that, but if you press escape, then you're not going to get the authorization required pop up a bunch of times because Chrome was like, something crazy is going on here. I'm just going to ignore that.
Explorer forces a delay for these kinds of things. So after you cancel it, it doesn't let it immediately pop again.
So you could close the tab or the window or whatever.
Mozilla.
It's immediate.
Whatever you want, bro.
For 11 years.
So I would say, are there any really legitimate websites that are still using that auth pop-up?
No.
Very few.
They're used basically as a stopgap measure. I like that it's so robust, though. You know, a lot of people re-implement login screens, and often there are more bugs in that than just using the built-in HTTP auth mechanism. But that's not in vogue anymore. Everybody's got to have a custom login screen.
Like a website that a company spending a lot of money on, if you showed them that, they would just vomit right there in the conference room.
But that is the most secure option because you as the application designer don't have to design an authentication system.
Security is not important when something is that ugly.
We need the login form. Did you see the login form with the bear? There was like this login form where you log in and there's like an animated bear and like it's looking at you when you type, and then when you get it wrong, it shakes its head, and then when you get it wrong three times, it face palms, and it's like, that looks great. That's not, there's not, like, versus HTTP, never mind.
They're probably passing the password in plain text through JavaScript to the bear animation. It's like, oh, this looks great. Yeah. Well, Quora is a website where you can ask questions. I don't know how popular it is. It's got 100 million users, though. You know how we know?
Because there was a leak of all of the users. Yeah, Quora's data breach has exposed 100 million users' personal info. This is a website that was really popular in India, from what I understand.
Hmm. Yeah, so...
worldwide, but especially in India.
They're doing the... You know, they're telling us and doing the GDPR stuff, so... They're doing everything right, it seems. They have found the problem, but just heads up, if you use Quora, probably been leaked. I can't imagine they got too many more than 100 million people. Maybe they do. I don't know. Well, this article, this is a Wired article, and let me tell you, it is long and wordy. And it really comes out to, like, hey, there's a fancy new technology, but it kind of doesn't work.
An eye scanning lie detector is forging a dystopian future is the headline. So if you've seen the old Blade Runner movie, it's literally the thing from Blade Runner where Harrison Ford scans your eyes to tell what you're really thinking. And that's how they're detecting lies. They're doing eye scans.
I don't think they have a picture of it,
but it's not super effective yet.
Yeah. And unfortunately, even though it's not super effective, it does seem like, based on the testing environment, it's more effective than the polygraph, which is like 40 to 60% or something like that.
Maybe not even.
But this thing has a lot of the same failures. But here's the thing. Law enforcement and other agencies, especially for hiring their own workers, are using this a lot and treating it like it's the new answer, even though not super accurate.
Yay, dystopian technology.
But yeah, if you get hired to be a cop or I think the feds were using it, didn't they say? And a lot of companies doing hiring will force you to go. So it's not as invasive as a polygraph. You just sit down and there's a camera. But it's doing the same kind of thing.
How long before we have a case in Florida where a police officer has shot a black teenager and it's like, well, the eye scanner thing said that I needed to shoot him, so.
Do you think they'll have mobile versions of it?
Well, yeah, probably.
I guess, what if the body camera is talking to Palantir and it's like, oh, that's a liar.
Yeah.
That would really be dystopian, wouldn't it?
That's coming.
Well, we blamed China for the Marriott thing. We blamed Russia for the election.
With all their fancy bears.
So who are we going to blame for a bad Chrome extension?
North Korea, of course. Cyber espionage group uses Chrome extension to infect victims. So this was Google Chrome extension. They were targeting academics. They were trying to figure out what sort of research and that sort of thing these academics were up to.
It was the Auto Font Manager. Now, these sites would link to a PDF that you would presumably want to read as an academic, something in your field. And when you clicked on it, it was like, oh, this has a font that you don't have. You need the Font Manager. Well, it wasn't really a font manager.
Who knew? So we want to know the people that are reading all the academic papers on nuclear stuff so we can identify them and have them go work for our clandestine government organization in North Korea.
Well, while that Chrome extension was in there, it was capturing pretty much everything. So. If you've got Auto Font Manager, heads up. And when you click on something and it tells you you need a Chrome extension to read a document, don't read the document.
Download it anyway and manage it yourself. It's fine.
So we've actually talked about this before, I think, haven't we?
We have.
On Level 1 News. But apparently, I think that was just a security researcher talking about it.
Yep.
Well, thieves in Toronto have caught on, probably read the same article we did. And they said to themselves, oh, I bet I could do that. And they can.
Yeah, auto theft is on the rise in the Toronto area, and a security expert thinks he knows why. So the thieves are boosting the signal from key fobs inside your homes to steal your cars.
Look how suspicious this guy is. I mean, if I was going to do crime, I would try to dress less suspiciously. I guess he is trying to like, kind of hide himself from the camera or whatever. But this has to do with, you got your smart keys.
Yeah.
Your smart keys.
You have the button in your car. You don't even have an ignition anymore.
And they are always broadcasting. So.
When you get them close together, it's fine. But that's radio signals. You can just boost the radio signal.
So what they're doing is They're counting on you, you know, walking in the front door, hanging your keys on a hook, going about your business, and they just walk up to the door with one receiver, which boosts the signal to another receiver, to the person who's about to steal the car, and lets them in, lets them start the car. They talk, they take off.
That sounds exciting. How long before we need to carry a foil bag in a level one store? Because
I was just thinking about, not a foil bag, but like a nice Faraday basket, you know, with maybe with, you know, this kind of outside.
You put your keys in there.
A nice logo. You just have it on your bedside. You can put your phone in there. You can put your keys in there.
Well, I do want to say that if you take the lid off of one of these and just use a nice metal lid, you could put your keys down inside one of these, and it would be very effective at stopping your radio signals from being stolen.
I don't know if that's the best form factor. But I think a nice hinged box.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be really nice.
Put your keys in there. That would be
and
nice.
And if you wanted to go dark, you could put your phone in there. Because some people apparently, like, you know, they have like a needy girlfriend or something, or boyfriend. Let's be gender neutral. And they do the location thing on their phone so they know where they are at all times. And it's just like, listen, I got to go dark. I got to have some me time. Put the phone in there.
Or attack helicopter friend, depending on how they identify.
Oh, yeah. Whatever. Whatever you want to date. I'm not going to judge. We talked about the big banking hack. Dark Vishnya. That's not a, yeah. It's a terrible name. And this affected, I can't remember, what country was it? I can't even remember. It wasn't the U.S. It was somewhere else in the world. And they weren't sure how it happened, but now they know.
It was because the banks were attacked through the direct connection to the local network. So they have separate networks, a banking network and like a regular network. But it turns out that you can have workstations in the bank that are connected to both networks. And so that was what was exploited in this case. By attacking the machines that were on both networks, they were able to mount an attack on the otherwise isolated network.
This just says Eastern Europe, so we can't even clarify.
This is also from Kaspersky, so.
But yeah, these guys, they posed as delivery guys or security guys. And their whole goal was just like get to a conference room. And if they got to the conference room, they'd pop a laptop in the ceiling or a USB or something in the conference room computer. And then they would use that to try to get another layer of access. And then they would go from there to put in rootkits, get another layer of access. And it worked. They got a lot of money. So you might want to lock down the conference room.
No unsupervised guests.
Or you know what you could do is like have a policy where at the end of the week, any USB connection that didn't have like a giant yellow tag on it or something, it just goes in the trash. Of course, then somebody's going to steal it out of the trash. Oh, it's not a good idea. Don't do that.
A network scan. It's like, oh, there's a USB drive in computer 37. It's like, okay, let's go to that computer and eject it.
Yeah. Well, that seems like almost too far of a reach for these banks.
I'm surprised the banks didn't catch an unknown device on the network, because usually that's the thing they monitor for.
Well, I think these conference room computers were treated with less suspicion, you know, because they're not actually managing money.
Who would mount an attack on our infrastructure from the conference room machine? That's crazy. Is it, though?
Well, some of that holiday shopping that we were talking about in the first episode that you hate, you might be doing it at Walmart. But one fun thing that might come up while you're at Walmart, you might get to watch some robots.
Robot janitors are coming to mop floors at a Walmart near you. Walmart's buying 360 of them, apparently.
What's that, like 5% of Walmart stores?
Yeah.
We probably won't get one. I don't go to Walmart anyway. Now, the cool thing about these robots is they're autonomous, but you have to teach them. So when you get your robot, someone drives around with a remote, I imagine, and runs through its cleaning area. It's like, okay, robot, here's your cleaning area. And then from that point, it knows what it has to clean. And so it can work around obstacles and stuff, but it learns the area and just does it over and over and over. So
neat.
You know when I'm going to run over a kid. Now this is an interesting article because it solves a problem, but Did we need it to solve this problem?
CNET article says Google Translate learns to reduce gender bias. The function is available in English, French, Italian, Portuguese, Turkish, and Spanish. I would love to see it translate some late 19th century literature and see what happens.
Well, it only goes from English to a gendered language. So they got an example here. Oh, it's all this. It's a broken image.
No.
CNET. Look at this. What's going on, CNET?
It's broken.
It's screenshot 2018-12-6 at 3:09:37 p.m. It's gone. Anyway, so it just showed going from English to, I think it was Turkish.
She is a doctor versus he is a doctor.
I'm sorry, the opposite direction. And then they applied both genders in English.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Neat.
Is it, though?
Yeah.
How would you feel if you were assigned that project?
It's like, we're going to do this. Well, I mean, it's...
It's easy.
Yeah. Like,
okay. I'll do it. Well, DeepMind. Do you remember DeepMind, the AI, who is crushing human spirit by beating us at all of our favorite games? Well, it's getting better.
DeepMind achieves a holy grail, an AI that can master games like chess and Go without human help. So this is another incremental improvement on the AI that, you know, a lot of people say that Go is way more complicated than chess, even because of the number of possible moves. And the way that AlphaGo played Go was unlike other human players, like just in terms of like the starting line and some other things like that. So that this AI is able to do this basically unsupervised now is kind of, a, I mean, it sounds like a really big deal, but it's really just an incremental improvement on what they've been working on for the last 10 years.
Well, the cool thing about this one is they had the Go version, and all they did was change the rule set and the board. And they'd said, okay,
teach yourself.
Go learn to play chess. And then it beat the other Google chess AI after 24 hours of games.
Yeah. Which was, you know, a zillion games.
Yeah. So the cool thing isn't that it's winning at chess. We already had robots that were winning at chess. It's that no one taught it to play chess. It just worked it out based on a rule set.
Yeah. And played against itself. And like it created versions of itself, basically, where it's like this version was not a very good chess player. And so it died. But then the version that was really good had to make a new version. So,
well, there are some Amazon workers who I think are going to be looking at a healthy Christmas bonus after a little bit of a robot mishap.
24 Amazon workers sent to the hospital after a robot accidentally pierces or unleashes bear spray. So this is one of those robots where it was like it helps them get stuff for the packages, and it somehow punctured a can of anti-bear spray, which led to bad things in the warehouse.
Well, it's I think bear spray is capsaicin, right?
Yeah.
And it's not so much that that's going to kill you. It's that they were in a very enclosed environment.
Yeah.
So you can imagine bear spray is a step up from pepper spray.
Yeah.
Because it's a bear. and these people were in a small room, and they got gassed hard with the bear spray.
I wonder if Jeff Bezos like flew out for this one. It's like, all right, somebody brief me on what's happening.
I don't know, but one person they said was in critical condition.
Wow!
So, imagine if you had some sort of any kind of like asthma or respiratory condition or something.
Oh yeah, if you breathe mostly capsaicin, that's going to shred your lungs.
I think it's probably going to be real bad for you. But I don't think anybody was at risk of dying. They thought everybody was going to get through it. But again, I think they're going to be a settlement.
It's fun that the robots are to blame, but I mean, I wonder if the robot really is to blame, because if there wasn't a robot involved, if it was just like, you know, forklift operator drives over a can of bear spray, I don't think it would have been a headline.
Got to wonder if the can was somehow compromised as well.
Yeah.
Was it a healthy can? Because I think you'd have to have a decent amount of crushing force to break one of those cans, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just like it accidentally pulled the nozzle, because those things have safeties.
Yeah.
It punctured it and delivered all the bear spray at once.
Yeah.
So.
Oops. Is that a product safety recall? Maybe Amazon can deflect it to the manufacturer and say, oh, the walls of this can were thinner than they're supposed to be.
Mm, good point.
It's going to be exciting. Speaking of things that are not exciting and actually kind of terrifying, the BBC News has this article, but I will sort of poison the water a little bit by saying that I see what happened. I see why the family would be upset. I don't think this is a big deal.
I think this is phenomenally stupid on the part of the hotel workers. But I don't know if they should be like fired for it because they were asked to do something.
Yeah.
It's like malicious compliance.
I don't know if it's malicious compliance or a cultural difference. I chalk this up to a cultural difference.
Could be. Okay. So here we go. The headline is not, it's kind of misleading. So TUI refunds holiday for horrifying dead son tribute. These people actually made a point every year on the anniversary of their son's death to have a celebration, which I mean, a remembrance. They weren't celebrating his death as far as I know. And they had cake and balloons. Well, they like a family friend or a relative who was going with them. She slipped the hotel workers a couple of bucks. And they were like, listen, make it really special. Here's what they came up with.
It's an effigy for their dead son with a cake.
So this is, they went through their clothing because they had their stuff in the room. And they got various clothes and stuffed them with towels to create, and look at his little tears.
We laugh at this because this has got to be a cultural misunderstanding. I don't think it was malicious compliance. I think this is probably just like in Jamaica, making an effigy of someone that has died is like part of the process. It's totally a cultural thing.
I guess. But that's a really weird looking thing. It doesn't resemble a human all that much.
I got to think that at least some of the people in Jamaica are like, I don't know why people like to come here on vacation, but we're not going to look a gift horse in the mouth. And if you guys do this kind of thing in England, we're okay.
But I bet another part, because it is these resorts and stuff, or like fancy hotels, they will fold your towels into little like origami shapes.
Yeah.
And people love that. And they're probably like, oh, you know what these American tourists, I don't know if they're American, they're Western. You know what these tourists love? Origami towel things. Let's do one that's really elaborate. You know?
So, and it ended very badly.
But they got a free vacation out of it, so I'm not sure that's going to make them feel better about their dead son. But yeah, it's what it is. It is what it is.
The other thing that's really exciting and nonsense is this elementary school story where, I mean, I like the story because I got in trouble a lot in grade school and in high school because it was like, do this thing that doesn't make any sense. And I was like, why don't we just do this other thing? Like, don't use DOS, for example. It's like, but the fastest way for me to do this thing is by using DOS, this other thing that you're asking me to do. So let's use DOS. And this school teacher has been dismissed. So
this is the thing that they didn't want the students to do.
Yeah.
And that was consume candy canes. Why?
Because the shape is the letter J.
And what does J stand for?
Jesus, obviously.
So this is...
it's also worth pointing out the principal didn't want them to use the colors red and green. They have been dismissed.
Elkhorn, Nebraska, which is surprising. You would think Nebraska would maybe have a little more Christian-friendly type of... But yeah, there was a Jennifer Sinclair, principal at this elementary school, passed out a memo and... didn't want any sort of, religion in the school system.
That doesn't seem unreasonable.
That's fine. You know, I think religion is definitely something for home. Because imagine how angry some of the parents would be if you showed up and you were just like, oh, let's do some voodoo. Yeah. Santeria. It's Santeria week. Bring a chicken. So that kind of makes sense. But to ban candy canes, because has anybody ever actually, like... are the evil candy cane makers? It's like, yes, let's spread Jesus. They'll never expect it.
And also the colors red and green. Like, this is like overboard.
But red and green stood for like the resurrection. And I didn't get that part at all.
Yeah. I mean, if that was ever true, it is no longer true.
I mean, you think this is just like a really disturbed individual who's sitting home, like staring at, like rocking back and forth. It's like, I see the candy canes. I understand what they're doing.
Yeah. If you're asking if they've collectively lost their minds, then yes, I would agree that collectively they've lost. There's not, you can have these things without having any kind of religious component. This is the type of person who, when there's a zero tolerance policy on drugs, you know, it's like you can't have a Tylenol, even if your parents are like, he gets headaches sometimes. We give him baby aspirin or Tylenol or whatever. And it's like, no drugs. It's like, no, that doesn't work that way.
Yeah. And it's impossible to separate Christianity from Christmas. I mean, it's just, yes, it's become a corporate holiday, sure, but it's part of it. It's part of the story, right? And I'm the further thing from a Christian. I got nothing in this fight, but it's just ridiculous to try and ruin the student's good time.
It's we're literally living the skit from Seinfeld. Was it Seinfeld that came up with the Krampus holiday? Not Krampus, but I can't remember what it was. It was like, we will not celebrate it, and it will not be a thing. I think that was Seinfeld. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, let's talk about the Linux Foundation. Now, you know, you might want to, if you want to put out some charitable money, right?
It's that time of year.
You got some money burning a hole in your pocket.
Electronic Frontier Foundation.
Can you claim this on your taxes?
I believe you can, because it's a nonprofit.
So there you go. You know, you want to give some money out. Hey, why not spread the word about open source, right? Because they're going to take that money and they're going to put it in back into the Linux community. They're going to, you know, maybe develop some video drivers, do some awareness. I'm pretty sure that's what they would do with it.
Note, 100% of donations received go to funding diversity programs.
What?
Wait, and donations to the Linux Foundations are not generally deductible by U.S. taxpayers.
Oh. So, let me get this straight. I don't get any tax benefits, and you're not going to put it toward actual open source work.
Well, when you put it that way, that's why it's in the nonsense section. Now it makes sense.
So, maybe think twice before doing that.
Speaking of other nonsense, this has got to be the dumbest thing Apple has done.
Let's talk about it. Apple has removed the strategy game Afghanistan 11 by Slytherin from the App Store. Because the Taliban are the enemies.
And now, that's not the only game that Apple has removed from that company.
That's what I was just about to tell you. You said this is the dumbest thing. But they've already done this.
Yes.
So before that, it was the Confederacy.
Yeah.
They have a lot of Civil War games that are very historically accurate. You can't have the flag.
No. Ironically, this game, like that particular one, Afghanistan 11, is less about warfare and more about political solutions and trying to win over the hearts and minds of the people as like a strategy game. But this company is insanely historically accurate for what it is. And a lot of educators have said that these games are actually a very good way for students to experience or be immersed in whatever the conflict was and whatever the context of this was. So I definitely think Apple has gone more than one step too far in this scenario, trying to police this kind of stuff. It's almost, you know, I was thinking about this, the Kitten Academy. I was like, we have no SADs. That is basically the stance that Apple is going for with the App Store. It's like, we will we will have no SADs.
But it's just no conflict.
Yeah.
It's not no SADs. But also, I mean, I've played these games, but I wonder if they're doing incredible historical accuracy, are they even weaving a story that paints the Americans as the moral high ground there? Like, you could make a game where the Taliban is the enemy, but you could make the Americans look like the bad guys.
Yeah.
Like an invading force even. So, yeah, that's a bit heavy-handed. And what is it like, remember the old Saturday morning cartoons where the way they would get around it is that all the bad guys were just robots? Because we need hyper-violence, right? That's what the kids want to see. But they can't kill anything, so just always robots.
Well, that makes perfect sense. Yeah, it definitely seems like Apple is not a very subtle company. Like, they don't understand subtlety and nuance. Everything must be ham-fisted and sledgehammered.
Yeah. So that's unfortunate. They did relent on the Confederate flag thing. So maybe they'll see reason on this. That's, you know what, though? It turns out I've never heard of these games, but now I'm kind of interested.
Yeah.
So it's a great advertisement for Slytherin. Isn't that a Harry Potter thing, though? I think I would have to not play their games. Just just based on that alone. Now, one thing I know about you is you are a huge 2 milli fan.
I didn't understand this article at all.
Like, we'll be riding around, and it's just constant 2 milli lyrics. Like, Wendell, please.
I don't understand the Fortnite part of this. So, rapper 2 milli sues Fortnite over a cribbed dance move. So, the whole, like, dances in Fortnite, like when you win or salute or whatever, they put his dance in Fortnite, and he's suing.
Here's a nice illustration of it. So, the amazing thing about this, like, this is ridiculous. I don't think it's fair that you can sue over a dance move, right? I mean, that's sort of just like human culture.
What about the moonwalk? Because he got a patent on that.
That's ridiculous too. So maybe they do have a legal standing for it, but in my mind, that's not something you should be able to have as intellectual property. But that's not the most disturbing thing about this story. The most disturbing thing about this story is it's $5. Some of you idiots are paying $5 to dance in a video game.
And instead, you could be paying $2 or less for the level one Patreon.
Buying one of these fine water receptacles. Not for $5. But yeah, a couple of other people that we've never heard of have weighed in on this. And most people are supporting him, saying, yeah, he needs to be paid.
I think it is actually possible on some level to get some kind of protections for some dance moves.
But how basic can you go? Like, can I just get a patent on, you know, swinging my hips?
No,
how about the twerk?
I think the Michael Jackson patent is actually like the whole dance plus the shoes and the mechanism.
Can I patent the twerk?
I don't think so.
What about the booty clap?
No. But what about like line dancing, where it's a complex series of moves?
What about the Gangnam Style? Remember how hot that was?
That one.
You think he owns that?
That one might be complicated enough. Can you imagine the Supreme Court figuring that out? Like, going before Kavanaugh, and he's just like, what am I even looking at here?
It's like, no, Your Honor. You can clearly see that she did not drop the booty beneath the knees. It's totally different.
You know what else is totally different? Smartphone cameras versus DSLR. Although Samsung would like to have you believe otherwise.
And this is not totally different from that thing Samsung did before.
The Verge headline is, Samsung caught again using a DSLR photo to advertise its smartphone cameras. So it seems to be the hot thing for Samsung to say, look at this picture that we captured from our smartphone. Isn't it amazing? But it's somebody else's photo even. Like, they didn't even hire their own photographer.
Yeah, last time it was... they were holding the camera up, but they weren't taking the picture. And the wide shot, I don't know who took that shot, though. You know, that was a leaker. They show the big, giant zoom lens on the DSLR, and, you know, they touched it up. This was just somebody else took this picture. She blew the whistle because she was like, that's my picture. Now, they did buy it. They didn't break any laws, but they are misrepresenting themselves here. She took it with... I don't think they mentioned what camera it was, but she's a professional photographer who's selling on these sites. So you can imagine it's something really nice. Bad Samsung. This one.
Speaking of bad Samsung, let's talk about bad Tom Cruise.
This is ridiculous, but he's not wrong. You know,
it's over. Now Tom Cruise has set his sights on motion smoothing, the TV effect that makes film look like soap operas. It's only a matter of time before you tweak the settings. So he's talking about interpolation, like frame interpolation, because TVs used to be weird and slow, and so they would draw every other line, and then on the next frame they would draw the frames in between that, and then on the next frame they would draw the original set of frames. So instead of just one line and then the very next line and the very next line, it skipped one every time, and it alternated which set it skipped depending on if it was an odd or even frame.
This actually is a more true to life, like higher frame rate looking thing. They call it the soap opera effect because if you've ever noticed, soap operas don't have that film quality. Like, what's film shot in, like, 32 frames or 36?
24.
Is it 24? So film is actually low FPS, and it gives it that look. And that's the way they want it to look, even though they shoot digitally these days. And your HDTV will kind of fix that, and they don't want that. This article, if you guys read this, if you got extra time, read this article. Stewart Heritage, you should quit riding right now. Oh my God. The attempts at humor just made my skin crawl. Oh.
Speaking of things that make my skin crawl.
You love 2 Mil, but you hate Soulja Boy. I mean, sometimes we have to like calm down, dude. It's okay.
Ever since that one time he outbid me on something on Alibaba.
And I think probably you're going to be vindicated here, though, because his newest product looks pretty bad.
The headline from Newsweek is rapper Soulja Boy has released a new handheld game console and it looks terrible. It literally looks like something he found from China that he could put his name on and be like, look, I'm doing a product.
Now, here's the most interesting thing. It lists all of these other kinds of game consoles. So are these ROMs?
Did somebody not brief him on how this works?
Now, I've heard of people trying to sell equipment with ROMs pre-installed. It didn't work out for them.
Yeah, especially with Nintendo involved. We had that like $13 million settlement. Oh, he's going to get Nintendo'd so hard.
Even emulation is not okay because the licensing agreements for most emulators do not allow you to pre-package them on your device. Yeah. So now, it could be that these are not ROMs and they're just those like really terrible like...
Breakout clone.
Moonlander and all Moonlander that stuff.
Moonlander clone, yeah.
But 3,000 of them. Now, if you remember back in the day, they used to sell those little, they were like the early Liquid Crystal 7-segment games. You remember those?
Oh, yeah.
And they would be like 500 games, but it was, you know, like 5 games with 100 difficulty levels. So there might be some of that in here. There are no details about exactly what games you get. Not really a ton of detail about the hardware. You know, just these pictures, which...
I guarantee you he has not licensed any Neo Geo ROMs.
That's a 3-inch screen. But if you don't, if you're like, well, I'm not ready to commit to that, you can also get the Soulja Watch.
Lord.
Again, no, it's $100 for the Soulja game, by the way. So you could get so
bad Chinese products gone wrapper.
A Raspberry Pi, a shell, one of those plastic shells, those are ubiquitous, and a little screen and a battery. You could probably get that for 50, right?
Probably not even.
And, well, I'm saying you're buying one of each, not at scale. And then you could load all your own ROMs and emulators, and you could have a way nicer product.
I'm pretty sure you can get a way nicer product right now directly from, you know, AliExpress.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it's been a while since the Tide Pod Challenge.
I think we know what happened with all these rappers and their crazy ideas lately.
You think they're sampling the Tide Pods?
I think they're sampling the Tide Pods, and we know why.
Well, you know, when a bad thing happens, the collective memory begins to erode rapidly, right? And before you know it, we're right back making our same mistakes. And it seems like Greeley King Supers, I've never heard of that. I think it's some sort of Colorado store. Now, you can't quite see, I can't scroll down because this has got like an anti-ad block thing that we had to work around, but let's just take a look at the picture here. Oh,
it's Tide Pods opposite candy.
Now, back here, we've got a brightly colored orange bag that contains delicious candies. Here we have a brightly colored orange plastic container, which contains poison. So you can kind of understand where some people were somewhat alarmed when they went into this store.
Colorado has a creative way of dealing with non-English speaking residents.
And yeah, I mean, well, you bring up a good point. I mean, you could argue like, who's going to be stupid enough? But I guess if you can't read it.
Yeah. Shame on you, whatever grocery store.
And they
store
do also smell delightful.
They really do.
Yeah.
They really do smell edible.
So yeah, just pro tip, if you're running a store, maybe the laundry aisle and any kind of food aisle should be separated. You know what? Put the dog food between those two. A lot of people do that.
Yeah.
You'll get like food, pet food, and then chemicals.
That's a sort of spectrum of edible things.
Yeah.
Very edible, somewhat edible, not edible.
I mean, if you really want to be safe, move to the other side of the store. But I get how, like, when you're doing your staple food shopping, you're going to pick up your laundry supplies as well. It's a convenience thing, I guess. But,
makes sense.
But not the same aisle.
That's it. That's it for us. Next week is going to be crazy.
This is the 17th, right?
Yeah.
So the week after, is that the Christmas week?
That is Christmas week. We don't know what our new schedule is going to be for Christmas week, but we'll see.
And for those of you who are wondering, Chris is at another wedding.
I was playing with her hair bob all day.
I don't know how many weddings this was. That's not a hair bob.
She left that in the studio, though. This is from our gift guide, which you should totally go check out. Oh, I've broken it.
That would be funny if, you know how like they do the gag where you saw somebody's cane 90% of the way? Like if we could set that up to fail the next time she goes canoeing.
It just floats away.
Set it up so that it fails after about 50 strokes when she's out in the middle. All right, yeah. So we'll tweet our Christmas schedule.
Check out the Level 1 store. It's your last chance to buy gifts because it's literally Monday. It snuck up on you. It's too late.
Imagine how good it would feel when your family member picks this up and they're like, oh, this is a nice... what is L1? See you next week.